Amen. Thank you, Cameron. Well, here at Evangel for the last number of weeks, we've been looking at some very important themes in the Gospel of John about who Jesus is and who he said he is. But today I want to take a few minutes and unpack a title that Jesus was given by his enemies that has particular significance for us today and what happened on what we call Good Friday. Jesus made reference in Matthew 11 to the fact that his generation, he spoke of his generation and said they were like school kids on a playground who have petty alliances and they get upset when other people don't want to play their game. He said, "To what can I compare this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others, 'We played the pipe for you and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge or a funeral song and you did not mourn.'" In other words, you didn't play by our rules, so we're going to take our ball and go home. For John, Jesus says, "For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Jesus was called a friend of sinners by his enemies. How many know when your enemies give you a nickname, it's not to flatter you? They're trying to embarrass you. They're trying to ruin your reputation, trying to turn people against you. So the religious leaders meant this as a slam against Jesus. But Jesus instead wears it as a badge of honor, the friend of sinners. His enemies meant that by association, Jesus was guilty of the same things as the people he spent time with. They called him a glutton and a drunkard, and Jesus was neither of those things. But he spent time with people of questionable character and lifestyle because he had come to rescue those who were lost. Two other quick scriptures give us a window into how Jesus interacted with sinful people. A little earlier in Matthew 9, verse 11, Jesus is, he had come and met with Matthew or Levi, who had been a tax collector. Now, tax collectors are rolled right in with sinners in the Pharisees. In fact, the passage we read just a few moments ago said, "You eat with tax collectors and sinners." They're just all balled together because tax collectors were extortionists and they were terrible people. But Jesus walked up to Matthew's tax collector booth and looked him in the eye and he said, "Come follow me." And Matthew must have heard Jesus talk. He must have been acquainted with his message, because in that moment, Matthew stood up and walked away from his table, walked away from money and everything, sitting on his tax collector booth, and just followed Jesus. And the next thing he does is he throws a party for his tax collector friends, because he's hoping that maybe if they connect with Jesus, they'll discover the same thing I have, that he is the Messiah, the one that came to save us. I kind of think that maybe Zacchaeus was there. That maybe God started something in Zacchaeus' heart that day that blossomed into salvation down the road. But while they're there, the Pharisees are hovering outside in judgment. And they ask, why is Jesus eating? Why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus responds beautifully. It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. In other words, Jesus here seems to set the record straight on two accounts. He doesn't care about their judgment. And he's happy to be identified with those who are broken because that's who he came to save. And he's not there to bless their sin. He's there to save them from it. The other quick scripture I want us to hear is in Luke 15, verse 1. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. We see two interesting things here. First, that sinful, broken people are not running from this preacher, they're running to him. And the second is that no one is running to the Pharisees. There's a qualitative difference between Jesus' teaching and life and the Pharisees' teaching and life. A good question for us to ask, are people running from me or to me? Then Jesus explains this difference to those who are listening by sharing the heart of God displayed in three stories: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. That out of love, God came seeking lost people and won't stop until they come home. So three brief observations about Jesus, the friend of sinners. First, Jesus may not be the friend you want, but he's the friend you need. See, who's the good friend to the alcoholic about to fall off the wagon? The one who looks the other way while he drinks? Or the one who knocks the bottle out of his hand and offers him a ride home? Jesus isn't our buddy that chuckles at our sinful ways, but he's our Savior. And there is no one who believes in you today more than he does. Secondly, Jesus' hope, what he came to offer, was not some slavery to religion, but it was the transformation of mercy and grace in our lives. Sinners ran to Jesus because he showed them that there is another way. I remember my dad sharing his newfound faith when I was about 6 or 7 years old, sharing his newfound faith with his cousin, Larry, late one night. Larry Bauer was president of the CAW in Windsor, Ontario, very important position. Now he has a park and a sports complex named after him. But I remember Larry saying to my dad that Jesus was just a crutch and he didn't need a crutch. But in reality, Larry had a lot of crutches. And they were crutches that were destroying his life and would eventually kill him when he died of a heart attack at 46. From Larry's point of reference, all he could see is he didn't want to leave the crutches he knew for the crutch of religion. But if he could only have seen that Jesus is the one who makes the lame to walk, his future would have been very different. Thirdly, Jesus' love wasn't just poetry. It was real. He didn't just want to make people around him feel better. He was willing to die in your sin so that you might live in his goodness. This is called Good Friday because our good God did a good thing. And he absorbed our sin on the cross so that we could become something so much more than we were. Jesus was such a friend of sinners. The soldiers that pounded a crown of thorns into his head, that beat him and pierced his hands and his feet with spikes. So they nailed him to the cross. And Jesus calls out, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." What kind of love does that? As Jesus is hanging on that cross, one of the criminals who deserved to be on the cross, who had stolen and killed, knew he was guilty, turns to Jesus and says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus, full of mercy and love for a repentant sinner, says, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while you were still sinners, Christ died for you." He was a friend of sinners when he took our place. And he is a friend of sinners today who seeks for those that are willing to trade their brokenness for his righteousness. He himself said, "I no longer call you servants, but friends. And greater love has no one than this, than that they lay down their life for their friends." I'm going to ask those who are serving community.